Praise God indeed. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise as we get everybody ready for church tonight. I hope y'all are doing well. Sorry, it's a little crooked. It drives me crazy. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer as we open up our service. I know it's been a beautiful day, hasn't it? God is great. Absolutely beautiful day. Wonderful service this morning. Beautiful day and good time this evening as we be very expectant of what the Lord has in store for us. If you have a prayer request this evening, just show by the raising of your hand. Oh, God knows and sees each and every one. And if you got a praise report, let's just raise that other hand and just lift them up to the Lord and just thank Him. Dear Lord, we just praise You tonight. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your many blessings. Lord, we just want to lift You up. We want to honor You, dear Lord. Thank You for this time You've given us to gather in Your name tonight, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we ask now, dear Lord, as we open up this service, dear Lord, that we'll just turn everything over to You. And Lord, just release it to You this evening, dear Lord. Just let nothing be in the way, nothing to distract us, dear Lord. And dear Lord, as we come to You now, just let Your Holy Spirit have a free reign amongst each and every one of us. Lord, thank You for this beautiful day. Lord, for the love You've given us, dear Lord, for that mercy and grace that You've shared upon each and every one of us, dear Lord. And dear Lord, we thank You for this gathering. Lord, as we come to You now, dear Lord, You see the hands that were raised, dear Lord. You know the needs of each and every individual here, dear Lord. You know it even before we speak it. Lord, we're asking for You to heal, to mend, dear Lord, to protect. Lord, those that are in financial needs, dear Lord, we know that You will provide. But again, dear Lord, we just thank You for Your love. Dear Lord, may we turn our attention to You. And Lord, everybody watching on the live feed this evening, dear Lord, or a later date where they're watching online, Lord, may You just touch each and every household that's watching. There are those that would love to be with us tonight, dear Lord, but for whatever reason, from sickness or travel, they're not able to be here, dear Lord. I ask You to touch their homes. Dear Lord, mend them. Dear Lord, heal their bodies. Give them that strength as they're in recovery. Or those that are setting up for a procedure now, dear Lord, we're placing them in Your hands. Again, dear Lord, we thank You and we love You. Lord, we ask You to bless our pastor and his family. Strengthen them. Lord, we lift up all of our ministries and all as we do for You. Again, dear Lord, we just praise and worship You, and we give You all the glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for praise. Praise God. While you're standing, they were just playing this. Turn to page 345. Where could I go? I'm going to need y'all to help. Y'all sing it back there for us this evening. Love to have the choir behind us. Amen. Just want to give God all the glory as we always do. Again, y'all sounding good tonight. I'm just excited about what the Lord has in store. You know, if you sing songs like that, you know, when you think about it, in these days and hours, this trying times that we're in, you know, all the fear, all the misleading information that's going forth, and we, you know, sometimes when you feel like you run around a circle, but the best answer, the best type thing you can say, where could I go but to the Lord? Because that's where it all is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We're going to get ready and take up our evening offering. As we sing this morning, we talk about different ministries. I want to also just reassure everybody about the Overcomers Outreach, how active it is, and how the Lord is just touching those. There's so many in need right now. They're crying out. And let's support our ministries in whatever way we do. We just want to keep them in our prayer. Also, our food closet, our ladies group, our Ida Bell. And as we get ready, and then our men's group, Band of Brothers, our choir, I'd like to see them all practicing tonight. Glad we're all getting back together and getting in the swing of things. So we just want to lift the Lord up and just thank Him for His many blessings. Brother Billy, would you ask the Lord just to bless our evening offering, please?
Love Him, Father, just for the Lord. I'm so thankful that we can come together this evening and worship You, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we just pray that everything we do be pleasing to You, Lord. Father, we ask now to bless this offering and give it to Father Thy words. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Like they've lost it all, over the edge with no one there to break the fall. And what do you say to someone who feels so unloved, giving themselves away a little bit every day just to be good enough? What do you say to a hopeless soul who can't remember their way home? everything is out of their control. There is no valley, there is no darkness, there is no sorrow greater than the grace of Jesus. There is no moment, there is no distance, there is no heartbreak He can't take you through. So before you think that you're too lost to save, remember there is nothing greater than grace. What do you say to someone whose life is on the line and they're unsure what happens after their last breath? And what do you say to someone who's only known abuse and they never want the guilt to know to save themselves? What do you say to a life of regret that's trying so hard to forget? What do you say when dreams are unmet? There is no valley, there is no darkness, there is no sorrow greater than the grace of Jesus. There is no moment, there is no distance, there is no heartbreak that He can't take you through. So before you think that you're too lost to save, remember there is nothing greater than grace.
So don't look old, don't let it go.
Let it rain. us with your mercy and grace. Flood us with your love and your sweet embrace. You're calling out for us to change. Oh, and we're tired of being trapped.
Going to do sometimes it takes a mountain. Y'all worship with us. D. I've faced a mountain that I've never faced before. That's why I'm calling on you, Lord. I know it's been a while, but Lord, please hear my prayer. I need you like I never have before. Sometimes it takes a mountain, sometimes a troubled sea, sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. to trust you and believe. Forgive me, Jesus, I thought I could control whatever life would throw my way. Has brought me to my knees. I need you, Lord. I'm not ashamed to say, oh, sometimes it takes a
wonderful, wonderful words and a beautiful, beautiful song. Sometimes it takes a mountain, amen. But you know what? Sometimes we just kind of learn the most down in the deep valley. God is so good and so great, amen. Brother Chris is going to be preaching for us tonight. We just ask him to come on at this time. If Sister Tabitha has a song to sing with you, or if you do a solo, if y'all just feel free to come take your liberty in the Lord, amen. Love Brother Chris. Everybody say, Lord bless him.
While she's getting ready, I just want to say that, you know, it's a sad frog that doesn't croak about his own pond. This Wednesday, July 1st, we'll be celebrating 20 years together. And share a little funny story that happened last weekend. We were able to get away, and we went up to the mountains. And this is what love does, gentlemen, ladies. My wife loves to paint rocks. So we get up early on Sunday morning, and we find a little place that has river rocks. So we go out there, and the water's about that deep, and it gets a little deeper. Well, you know me, I'm a go-getter, so I'm going to get a little deeper into the water. And I said, oh, Lord, there is the most beautiful rock in that water. Well, I'm not as young as I used to be. And I reached down. You know how you reach down to go get something, and you think, man, I sure don't want to fall into this water. That's exactly what happened. And I just knew she was over there on the shore laughing. I looked up, and she didn't even see nothing. I said, oh, hallelujah. But you know, I love this lady, and it's been a journey, and it's been an adventure. I tell her all the time, it's been an adventure. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, 20 years, we were married almost as long as we've been alive, but I can't imagine spending eternity with somebody even any more better than this person right here. And this lady is true blue. I see her every day of the week, and I know. She talks the talk and she walks the walk. And I thank God for a godly woman.
Amen.
It was really an adventure because I probably got about 150 pounds of rocks and he carried them back to the vehicle on his back. So he got his workout. Not only did he fall in, I was looking down for the rock. I was like, how do I miss these things? Oh, goodness. 20 years has been a long time. We've been through a lot, but I love him. I couldn't trade him for anyone else. He's a hard worker, and he loves his family, and I'm just thankful for the 20-plus years that we've had together. God's good. Y'all worship with me. Victory in Jesus.
Jesus.
wonder, whoever's, Brother Tom, whoever's working the monitors, I wonder if you could do me a favor, just humor me. I know we're coming up on a holiday, Independence Day, and as someone who's studied the writers of the Declaration of Independence, I appreciate what they gave for the country that I live in. I wonder if you could put three things. Put me the Pledge of Allegiance. We're going to do that first. The Pledge of the Christian flag and the Pledge to the Bible. I believe that God wants us to do that tonight. Amen. But while they're working on that, you know, the writers of the Declaration of Independence, if you didn't know, you know, I know Thomas Jefferson is one of the most known ones, but there were a lot of people that signed the Declaration of Independence that gave everything they had, financially, physically, spiritually, emotionally, for this country that we live in. And even though it was a few hundred years ago, we can still remember our independence. And as I was thinking about doing that, Brother Eddie, I was thinking, you know, I remember when I received my spiritual independence. And we can't do the American Pledge of Allegiance without doing the Christian flag. And we can't do the Christian flag without doing the Bible. Amen. Y'all remember doing that in school? Some of y'all old enough to remember when we used to do the Pledge of Allegiance in school? And we used to do the pledge to the Christian flag. Some of us that were actually in a Christian school, that were able to go to a Christian school. So I believe that if you have it ready, brother, he's probably still working on it. But if we can go ahead and stand, pretty sure I can remember everything. If I can't remember, hand over your heart. Amen. And, you know, a lot of the hymns that we sing are with feeling. I want you to say it from your heart. Yes. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Have you found it to put it on the monitor, brother? Still working on it. Working on it. For the Christian flag. Now, I don't remember all this, so y'all teachers might want to help me. You remember it?
I know.
It's going to come back once we start doing it. Okay. Nothing like being on the spot. Allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, united in love. Amen.
I went to public school.
You went to public school? And for the Bible? Pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against thee.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. We did a good job. We made it together. Amen. You know, with everything that's going on in the world that we live in today, I just want to say, you know, I know who I am. First of all, I'm a Christian.
Yes.
Second of all, I'm a child of God. And if you keep both of those in one too, you'll remember that everything else that you are. The most important thing that I can be called is a Christian and a child of God. Yes. I've been called many things, and I am called many things. I'm called husband, father, son, dad, employee, boss, a lot of other names that I get called, I'm sure. I've got nicknames. My wife calls me nicknames. My kids call me nicknames of affection. Of affection. Amen. But I'm a Christian. Somebody asked me the other day when everything went down in Atlanta, what do you think about it? I said, I'll tell you the truth. It breaks my heart because people have so much hate. And I got to thinking about that, and I got to chewing it over in my spirit, and I said, God, how come people have so much hate? Why do people have so much hate for each other? Why do they just hate each other without a cause? He said, well, it's easy. If God is love, and He is, and they've taken God out of the equation, they don't know how to love. All they know how to do is hate. The opposite of love is hate. The opposite of hate is love. Amen? It's not about a skin color. It's not about a nationality. It's not about a background. It's about Jesus.
Amen.
It's about having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? Yes. One day when we get over there, we're going to see a bunch of people. And we're going to say, wow, I never knew. I never knew that you were saved. I never knew that you were part of the family of God. Because we are a big family. Amen? We're a big family of God. If I had a... We're a family of God.
Amen?
And, you know, I'm like my sister said, don't get caught up in that junk.
Yeah.
You know, cut it off. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. That's toxin to me. I don't want to hear it. I want to tell you about Jesus. Because that's the only thing that's going to get us where we need to go. Amen? Is Jesus. I have several scriptures that I want to go through tonight. I want to start in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12. If I had a title for the message tonight, it would simply be, what's in a name? What's in a name? Ephesians chapter 6 and 12. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
I'm still working on getting there. Ephesians 6 and 12 said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to come tonight, Father God, to worship you in spirit and in truth, Father God. Lord, we just simply ask that you would have your way in this service tonight, Father God, that you'd pour out your anointing, Father God. Anoint my lips, Father God, to speak your word, Father God. Anoint my mind, Father God. Anoint my heart. Anoint my lungs, Father God. Anoint the congregation's ears to receive your word and to apply it into their life, Father God. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory that's due your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Is this thing on? Can y'all hear me out there? Don't sound like it's on up here. Okay. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You don't have to look very far on social media, on the news, to see that people are wrestling against things. People are angry without a cause. And as I was studying for this message, I was really, the Lord really pricked my heart. We're not wrestling against people. It's not brother against brother. It's not about race. It's not about a religion. It's not about an ethnic background. It's not about anything now. It's about evil. It's about the evil that is in this world. It's about the evil that we're fighting. Amen. Somebody said evil prevails when good men do nothing. Yes, it does. When good men, like Brother Eddie said this morning, sit back and do nothing, evil will prevail. But I think it's high time that we as the Christian stood up. We as the church stood up. We don't have to be mean. We don't have to be ugly about it. We can do it in love. But it's high time we quit getting steamrolled by everything the devil wants us to come about. Amen? The Apostle Paul is writing in Ephesians chapter number 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Principalities are things in this world. The Bible says the devil is the ruler of this world. He rules this world. How come we see things go on like we see go on? Because the devil is the ruler of this world. Amen? But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Somebody said, Brother Chris, how can spiritual wickedness be in high places? There is a place above us that is the heavens. I'm not talking about where God's at. I'm talking about it's the heavens. And there's spiritual warfare that goes on up there. Douglas MacArthur said one time that the battle is first fought above us before it comes down to us. It is fought in the spiritual realm. Some of y'all are looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate. It's all right. I'm going somewhere with this. The battle is fought in the heavenlies. There are demons and there are angels that are fighting above us. They're fighting and we know nothing about it. We get up every morning and we think nothing about it. There is a
accuser of the brethren that is trying to get a hold of you. There is somebody that's out for your life, and his name is the devil. And he doesn't patty cake around like we think. He doesn't wear that red suit with the little horns and have the little fork. He comes in ways that deceive us. He comes and he tries to steal things from us. He tries to take our identity. And stick with me. I'm going somewhere. I'm building the foundation. Okay? You still with me? Amen. He tries to take things from us. How does he come in and he take it? I shared with the Sunday school class this morning. My wife has these strawberry plants. And the strawberry plants are doing really great. But what gets me is when the strawberry just starts coming to be red and just ready to be picked. And you think, man, tomorrow I'm going to pick that thing. You wake up in the morning and something has ate just a little bit. That not enough to eat the whole thing. They ate just a little bit to make the rest of that strawberry no good. Now you can't eat the strawberry because it's no good. And that's happened about 3 or 4 different times. And I thought, why does this keep happening? Should we pick it a day earlier when it's not ripe? No, we should wait for it to get ripe. But something sneaks in there overnight. Come on, somebody. Sneaks in there overnight and comes in and gets a hold of that thing while we were asleep. The church has been asleep, like Brother Eddie said, for far too long. And there's been things that have been sneaking in and stealing things from us. And the whole time we're saying we're not going to say anything because we want to be politically correct. We're not going to say anything because we don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Well, you know what? Sometimes you have to hurt people's feelings. Sometimes the truth hurts. Amen? When you speak the truth in love, sometimes it hurts. Sometimes people need to hear what you have to say. Thus saith the Lord. We too many times we've walked around and we say we're not going to tell that person this, and God, I can't say that to this person. I can't say that to that person. We're not wrestling like we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be with the full armor of God. But what's happened was we come into church and we put on our armor. When we leave out and go into the world, we take off our armor. We leave it here in the church. And we go out and we expect to fight a battle. Amen or oh me, I'm stepping on somebody's toes now. We expect to fight a battle with no weapon, with no power, with no sword, with no shield, with no armor. And we wonder why the devil just steamrolls us the whole time. Because we weren't prepared. We weren't ready. We thought the devil was just going to patty cake around with us. No, he's not. He's out to, as Jesus told Peter, he's out to sift your soul like wheat. That's what he's out to do. He's out to seek, kill, and destroy. He's going to seek you out where you're at. He's going to kill you, but it's not good enough that you're dead. He's going to completely destroy you to where you are no more. You say, Brother Chris, how do you know that's true? Go back and study a little bit about what happened to Judas. What happened after Judas was dead? The devil came and just destroyed him. It wasn't good enough that he was dead. The devil wants to destroy us. And it's time that we pick up our sword. It's time that we pray. It's time that we establish a foundation and grab the horns of the altar and say, God, I'm not letting go until I see a change. I'm not letting go. If you want, my Bible tells me, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, we have to get off our high horse. We have to get up. Well, praise God, I'm a Christian. You are a Christian, but sometimes you got to get your hands and your feet dirty. Sometimes you got to get in the ditches and you got to make a way. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to get in the spiritual ditches and you have to fight. Amen. Not everybody's going to be a fighter pilot. Not everybody's going to have the glitz and the glamour. Some people got to be infantry. Some people got to be on the ground. Somebody got to have face-to-face combat with the devil. You know, we come in here. Why do we come in on Sunday, Wednesday? Because we have to have refilling, refreshing, encouraging. Why do we read our Bible every day? Why do I read my Bible every morning? Because I have to have that strength to go through the day. It has to encourage me. It has to strengthen me because I don't know what I'm going to face in that day. But I know that there's going to be a devil behind whatever I'm facing. And I know I better be ready for him. Amen. When we used to practice for football, the coach would tell us, come on, we're going to do wind sprints. Anybody remember wind sprints? Man, whew, my side would get to hurting. I said, oh, coach, my side's hurting. He said, I don't care. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Because when you get out there on that football field and you're expected to make a play, you're not going to be able to make a play because you ain't in good enough shape. So this is where we get into shape. And we're in a fight that's not physical. We're in a war that's not of this world. I wish everybody could understand that there are things that are happening outside of the realm of what we can see. And there is a battle going on. And there is a battle going on between good and evil. And we're beginning to see a little bit of it as we see people that we watch and our mouth are just open and we say, how can people be so mean? How can people be so hateful? How can they be so... You know what gets me? People say, you did that. You did that. You ever remember as a kid and you were hanging around with some people and they did something but you weren't hanging around with them? And your mama or your dad would come up and say, so-and-so got in trouble. Were you part of that? I wasn't. Yeah, I think you were. You used to hang with them. You hung with them an awful lot. Y'all rode bikes and everything. I promise I never did that. I promise I wasn't hanging around with them. People try to accuse other people for stuff they didn't even do. Amen? Because they think they did it. That's the devil. That's the devil. I'm going to open your eyes to something. If it ain't light, it's dark. If it ain't God, it's the devil. Amen? God's not going to have any part to do with darkness. And the devil's not going to have anything to do with light. Amen? When you go into your house... And it's dark. And you know where the furniture is. It's nighttime. You get up in the middle of the night. Sometimes I'll fall asleep on the couch. And I think, you know what? I know exactly how many numbers of steps I have to go up. And I know exactly where my bedroom's at. But you know what? I'm going to turn a light on. You know why? Because sometimes I can miss a number of steps that I've got. And if I miss that number of steps, you know who's going to be on the floor? It's going to be me. Amen. So I'm turning the light on so I can see. When I go into my bedroom, I'm going to have a light where I can see because I don't know what's going to be in the floor. Amen. Because sometimes that dog goes and lays down right in the way and she's dark. You can't see her. But I turn the light on. Spiritually, we need to turn the light on. Spiritually, we've been walking around as a church in darkness. We're walking around, stumbling around. And the whole time the devil's laughing. You can bet the devil's laughing. I'm lulling you to sleep. I'm lulling you to sleep. Just like Brother Eddie said this morning. I'm just like Brother Eddie. Hey, you prop me up in a corner somewhere, I'm going to sleep. My wife can tell you that. It don't matter where I'm at. I've slept in a hospital bed. I've slept in a hospital room. I've slept anywhere and everywhere. You get me still and quiet long enough and I'm out. And I'm gone. The devil has done that to us as Christians. He's lulled us to sleep. It's okay that you can come to church. That's fine. But only make it one time a week. Don't make a habit of this. It's okay that you come to church, but you don't got to give your tithes. You don't have to sing in the choir. Why don't you just sit on the pew? It's okay that you can come to church, but don't get involved. It's okay that you come in church, but you don't have to read your Bible every day. Come on, that's ridiculous. It's okay that you come to church, but you don't really have to pray. Come on. We have the power of God working within us. But we fail to use that power. I preached a message one time out of Acts chapter number 2. The Bible says you have received the power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What have you done with the power? What have you done with the power? If I have the power working within me, why am I not reaching out to help somebody? Why am I not reaching out to pray for somebody? Why am I not calling somebody and telling them how good God is to me? Amen? Why am I not reaching out and going and saying, hey, Jesus loves you? Amen? Why are we not being the hands and feet of Jesus? Why do we not stand up like we used to? Why do we not pray like we used to? Why do we not fast like we used to? Brother Chris, you're just meddling now. Why do we not have a relationship like we used to? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verses 3 through 6. The Bible says, but if your gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of Christ, who is image of God, should shine unto them. Verse number 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. If you mark in your Bible, mark verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost. You ever heard the saying, Secret Service Christians? They're in the Secret Service for the Lord. Nobody knows they're a Christian. Brother Eddie got that. Nobody knows they're a Christian. They're in the Secret Service. And they walk around. You're not gonna think I'm a Christian because I'm going to fit in with everybody else. Because I'm going to look like everybody else. I might get made fun of, and I do on an almost daily basis, and I tell Tabitha, I said, you know what? It's all right with me. But I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't cuss. I don't just fly off the handle. You know why? Because I've got the Spirit of the Lord within me. And first and foremost, I realize that, like I said, I'm a Christian. And I am a child of God. I'm going to act like my father. Amen. I shared the story before how my dad, when he was on this earth, he was my hero. And I wanted to be like him. I want to be like my Jesus. I want to act like my Jesus. I know I have this old stinking flesh I have to deal with. But if I feed my spirit more than I'm feeding my flesh, guess what's going to grow? My spirit. And my flesh will starve itself to death to where my flesh will now be in subjection. And I will say, God, I'm for you. I want whenever Jesus comes, I want him to look at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter ye in. Enter ye in to the land of rest. Oh, hallelujah. But too many times, as I've thought about over and over these past couple of weeks, too many times we have that spirit of Moses that happens. Moses got close enough to the promised land, Brother Tony, that he could only see it. He could only see it. See, too many times we take for granted that we're going to enter into the promised land. But if there was never a time when we asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of our life, then we're not going to enter into the promised land. The Bible says in John 14:6, I am the way, talking about Jesus, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you're trying to get into heaven any other way, you're not going to make it. And that's just the truth. You're not going to make it. If we're trying to get into heaven on our good works, Lord help us, we're not going to make it. It's only through the blood of Jesus. It's only through that precious blood that was applied to my sins, hallelujah, and washed me whiter than snow, hallelujah. I don't want to just see the promised land, sister. I want to enter in. Yeah, it's good to see it from afar, and it's nice to see it from afar, but I want to enter in, hallelujah. Yesterday we went on a bike ride on the Silver Comet Trail. And I know it's hard to see me on a bike. It's hard to feel me on a bike too. Trust me. Tabitha's constantly, you okay? You okay? I'm all right. I'm okay. We wanted to go to this. We had a destination. We're trying to go somewhere. It was about 3 miles plus or minus from where we were starting from. It was the tunnel. I love going to that tunnel. It's beautiful. I love going there. There's lights on in that tunnel. The whole way going there was uphill, Several points in time, and I'll be honest with you, I felt like just giving up. I felt like saying, you know what? My legs hurt, my feet hurt, my back hurts, I'm tired. You ever get that and you say, you know what? I'm just going to turn around and go back. And we're only a mile in. I didn't tell them that because they kept saying, are you all right? Yeah, I'm all right. I'm okay. But man, I just kept, Brother Eddie, just in the pit of my stomach, I kept thinking, keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. You want to see it, keep pushing, keep pushing. And in my spirit, I start, keep pushing. Oh, hallelujah, keep pushing. Well, the final, we take breaks a lot. We take a lot of breaks. We cover some ground, but we take a lot of breaks. The boys can tell you, you ready for a break? Mm-hmm. Ready for another break. The last break, Gabriel said, because he muttered, Dad, we only got 3/10 of a mile. We should be able to see it around the next corner. Man, when he said that, my mind started going into everything that I had went through in the past 2.5 miles. And thinking everything that, and then in my spiritual mind, I started going back. And everything that I've been going through, all this uphill climb that we've had to go through, we got a little bit further. And as we started getting a little bit closer to our destination, we came around the corner. And through the trees, I could see the lights of that tunnel. And I thought, my goodness, the song came to my mind, oh, I can see the lights of home. I can see him on his throne. I'm too near to turn back now. I'm not fixing to stop anytime soon. Hallelujah. It has been a hard spiritual journey. And it seems like most of the way it's been uphill. But you know what? I thank God, like my sister sung about the mountains. I thank God that sometimes we have to go up that mountain. But I'm thank God that at every time he's on the top of that mountain. And every time I've been singing this song in my spirit for the past couple weeks, and I'll go through the warehouse and I'll sing it. It's an old song. I don't know if anybody of y'all might know it, but they're holding up the ladder that I'm climbing on. I'm climbing up the ladder and I'm going home. At the top of the ladder, oh, what joy there will be. The angels are holding up this ladder for me. Hallelujah. And I just keep singing it over and over and over again. And I can almost see, Brother Tony, the lights of home. And I can think about, you know what? All that pain, all that sorrow, all that suffering that I've gone through spiritually is just nothing but a memory. I don't recall that anymore because what I'm focused on is higher than what I can see. Hallelujah. And my destination might be all uphill, but you know what? I'm going to a heaven that's up. Hallelujah. And I'm going to a destination to where I know my Jesus is at. Somebody said, what's heaven going to be like? I know it's going to be streets of purest gold. I know what the gates might possibly look like, but I want to see my Jesus. I want to behold him face to face. Oh, hallelujah. One day, Brother Jim, one day all this is going to be behind us. All the troubles and all the trials and everything that we've gone through, all the hate, all the hurt, everybody that's ever done us wrong, and we're going to see Jesus face to face. Hallelujah. And my Bible tells me, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be separated no more. Hallelujah. I remember when we first got married. We're talking about we've been married for 20 years. Man, when we first got married, I was working nights at Gold Kiss Chicken. And she was working daytime at the bank, Capital City Bank. And man, I thought I was going to die. We both thought we were going to die. We only got to see each other for a couple hours a day. And that was from about 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. And man, I was like, man, this stinks. This just stinks, you know? And the more you go on, the more you want to spend time with that person, and the more things get in the way, and the more you think, man, I wish I would have made more time for this and more made time for that. But hallelujah, when we get to heaven, there ain't nothing else going to be in the way. We're going to spend time with Jesus for eternity. Hallelujah. He's going to rule and he's going to reign. Hallelujah. And we're going to forever be with him. You talk about joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. That's what it's going to be. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's coming a day. There's coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more tears shall dim the eye. Hallelujah. There is peace forevermore on that happy golden... I get happy when I talk about heaven. I can't help it. I can't help it. I get a little bit happy. Amen. John chapter number 12. I told you I was going to go around a little bit. Verse number 31 and 32. Jesus answered and said unto them in verse 30, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Sometimes we turn on the news and we look around and we say, that's all we can do. God, you're going to have to do something. God, you're going to have to do something. There's coming a day when judgment will come. There's coming a day when judgment will come. There's coming a day when judgment will come. My Bible says that if judgment begins at the house of the Lord, come on somebody, it's time to do a self-examination. Am I really where I need to be with the Lord? Am I really where God wants me to be? Can I be closer to Him? Have I grown far away? Has things got in the way? Has life got in the way? I'll share a little secret with you, and I'm just going to be transparent. My oldest son is 18. My youngest son will be 17 in August. Whew. I told Tabitha last weekend, I said, my only regret I have is I didn't take more time to enjoy them boys. I thought I had to work all the time. And I let work and the things I thought that I was doing good for my family, distance myself and the boys. I'm trying to bring that back again. And my boys will tell you, I tell them every night I love them. We go down the road, I tell them I love them. But I need to be there close to them. We do God the same way. We started off many, many years ago, we were saved. And we remember that revival fire. And it felt good, and we told everybody, Jesus saved me! Hallelujah! You ain't gonna believe what happened to me today. And everybody was going, what? Hallelujah! It did the greatest thing. And after time goes on, we lose our fire. We still have love for Jesus, but we've distanced ourselves. We've let our day-to-day routines, amen or oh me, get in between us and Him. And it's made a barrier. And it's separated us from God. It's time to break down those barriers. There was a time we used to have joy. There was a time that we used to have love that would pass all understanding. There was a time that we were as close to God and we could hear Him talk. And now it seems like we're so far away, and I'm talking to us in the church, that we can't even hear God speak. I was watching a show this morning. I got up before everybody else, and I was watching a show on TV in Northwoods Law. These people were lost in the woods. And the Marine people would get out there, and they would listen for them. They would holler, and somebody would holler back. And he'd say, I hear somebody. Well, directly the guy gets a phone call and says, quit hollering back, because that's so-and-so on your team that's hollering them. And I was like, man, and the whole time your heart's going up and down. They're going to find the people. Did they drown? You know, where are they at? And all of a sudden, the next thing, they hollered out, hey, we're here to help you. And all of a sudden, they could hear just faintly, help us, help us. They pulled the boat over there, and they found them. And I'll never forget, when they got them back to the shore, they said, how come you weren't hollering yesterday? He said, we were, but we were so far away from you that you couldn't hear us. I don't ever want to be that far away from God. I don't want to ever be that far away from God where He doesn't speak and I say, yes, sir. He doesn't speak to me and I say, yes, Lord, I will. Who will go? I will. Who will I send? Send me. Send me, Lord. Send me. You ever have the teacher call on you in test time? Brother Eddie talks about this, you know. And they used to do me the same way, Brother Eddie. I think I had the X on my forehead. They would say, Chris, what's the answer? You know, because you're the only one that don't raise your hand. You know, everybody else, you're like, yeah, y'all overachievers. You know, I'm just going to sit back over here. Chris, what's the answer? I don't know. I have no idea what the answer is. I don't want God to do me that way. I want Him to look at me and say, God, I'm over here. I'm over here. Don't look any further, Lord. It's me. It's me. I want You to use me, Lord. I want You to use me. Going on. And I've laid the foundation, and now we're fixing to get somewhere. Daniel chapter number 1. Familiar story right here. Daniel chapter number 1, verses 1 through 7. This is an account of people who lost their name, who lost their identity, but still remembered who they were. In verse number 1, the Bible says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, unto his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Whoa. Verse number 3, and the king spake unto... Let me just stop right here. God is holy. He expects us to be holy. If you have things in your house that are not holy, you need to get them out. God will show you what is in your house that is not holy. We as Christians... I'm going to let you in on a little something. We are Pentecostals, which means we are holy. We are of a holiness background. If you go and research a little bit of the Pentecostal, it's kind of humorous because a Pentecostal actually means that you like to eat. Did you know that? Part of that means you like to eat. But there is a holiness background to that. I know everybody's looking at me like, you're the biggest one here, Brother Chris. You're wanting to talk, ain't you? Hallelujah. It's all right. But there's a holiness background. We passed a little country church just outside of Murphy, North Carolina. Holiness church. Small church. And I thought, man. I bet that church right there, they flat sure get it. Holiness is where we need to be. Every aspect of our life should be holy. Our thoughts should be holy. Our actions should be holy. Our talk should be holy. Amen. I'm not getting many amens on that, but it's okay because I'm preaching the truth. We should be holy because God is holy. The angels go around and the seraphims go around the Lord. And you know what they say? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. The very thing that God is, the most that God is, what pervades everything that He is love, He is good, He is kind. But the very first thing that He is He is holy. And we should be holy. We should not live lives that are not holy. We don't go to places that we should not go to. Come on, somebody. We don't hang with people that we should not hang with. Come on, somebody. We don't tell the jokes that other people tell because that's not holy. Come on, somebody. It's time that we started hearing the right words, amen, and not just the good words. It's time that we as preachers, like Brother Eddie said, we start pointing in the right direction and say, you get it right or you're going to get left. And that's all there is to it. We're going to get it right. That's what we're going to do, amen. And if I don't preach that we're going to get it right, then your blood's going to be on my hands. I'm not going to have your blood on my hands because I'm going to tell you, we need to get it right. We need to get it right. You might have been saved for years and years and years, but you got that one little thing. Get it under the blood. Get it under the blood. Back in 2007, my wife had open heart surgery. I remember before the surgery, the doctor said, your heart is a very intricate vessel. It's very neat. It doesn't look beautiful like everybody, you know, that big picture with a big heart and we do the hearts and all that stuff. That ain't what your heart looks like. Your heart's kind of ugly. It really is. He showed me a picture in the doctor's office. He said, see all these different chambers of your heart. You got different chambers. This chamber does this and this chamber. And on the back side of your heart, there is a chamber. Not many people can see that, and it's hard to see it from an x-ray. You can't operate on it unless you go in to do an open heart surgery. And that's a chamber that you have to reach back in and get. There are chambers of our heart as Christians that we have things in. We've picked them up and we've carried them and we've stuck them in there. And we forgot about it. It could have been years and years and years and years and years and years and years, 35, 40 years ago. Something happened and we reacted in the wrong way. When God shows that to you, get it under the blood. You think, oh, that's just my conscience messing with me again. No, God's trying to bring it out. He's trying to bring everything out. Because, see, the cream rises to the top. A lot of people didn't know this, and I was surprised. When you milk a cow, they have a little bottle, and on the top's got like a little bubble on it. That's where the cream sits. And the cream overnight will rise to the top. And if God's trying to purify you, and when He purifies you with that fire, and we think, God, how come you're always on my case? God, I'll never get it right. He's saying, you know what? Come here. It's going to be all right. I'm trying to purify you. I'm trying to work something in your life. I'm trying to make you holy. And we say, thank God that you showed. God, thank you that you showed that to me. God, I'm sorry for what I did. And you make it right. And you say, God, I want to get that under the blood. Because I don't want there to be anything between me and you, Lord. I don't want there to be anything, any bad between me and you, Lord. I want it to be all right. Amen? But God shows that to us. Just like when we look in the mirror in the morning. God shows that to us. Get out the bad things. Verse number 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank. That is wine that is in the cluster, just so you know. So nourishing them 3 years, that at the end of thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now if I ask most of you who that was, you'd have no idea, would you? You know who Daniel is. We know who Daniel is. You know who the rest of them are? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're fixing to go there. But he gave them new names. Go to Daniel chapter number 3. Verse number 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it upon the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges and treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had stood up. Verse number 4, Then an herald cried aloud, To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. Therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to be truthful. I'm not bowing for nobody. There is one person I will bow to, and his name is Jesus. If you're wondering where I stand, I'm not bowing for nobody. Because there's only one person that loved me enough to die for me. There is only one person that loves me enough to make a place in heaven for me. There is only one person that died for my sins and rose the third day from the grave and is seated at the right hand, oh hallelujah, right hand of the Father, and is interceding for you and for me. There is only one person that is worthy of praise. There is only one person that at the mention of his name, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord of all. Every, that is an all-inclusive word, every knee shall bow. The most hardened person that is against Jesus will one day kneel, oh hallelujah, and worship the Lord. Why? Because there is nobody like him. Yes, there is a battle going on in the heavenlies. Yes, there is spiritual warfare that is taking place. But I've read the end of the book, and I understand that we win. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that I win. Hallelujah. I win. You win. Hallelujah. We're not defeated. What are we going to do, Brother Chris? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to trust God. That's what we're going to do. We're going to believe God. That's what we're going to do. He ain't never failed me before, and he's not going to fail me this time. I'm following God. Wherever he goes, I go. Moses, he said, you know what, Lord? If you're not going to go with us, don't even take us up there. Don't even take us up there. And God said, I'm going to go with you. Hallelujah. Can you imagine having a cloud by day and a light at night? You could see wherever you were going. And that was the Spirit. Hallelujah. The Bible says that whenever Moses went into the tent, the Spirit of the Lord in that cloud was outside of the tent. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, take me there. Take me. When Brother Eddie was talking about how when they were all dressed up and going to the temple and they had their Sunday best on, and man, they were looking good and they were smelling good. The ladies had all the whatever the ladies wear. You know, I know that takes a minute to get right? Okay? They had their hair up just right. It was fixed. Brother Tony, we had our hair, you know, it was good. It was wife approved. You know, you walk out of the house, she's like, "Yeah, come here. You got a little, you got to fix that." I don't know. Hey, they got to keep us straight. Everything was just right. Glory to God. They come into the house. They thought it was going to be business as usual. Everything's going to be good. And the glory of the Lord, hallelujah, fell in the house. They didn't even know what they were going to say. Everything they had, I don't even know what to do. Hallelujah. They just walking around saying, "Thank God." Hallelujah. And God's healing people. God's delivering people. He's casting out sickness. He's setting people free. Hallelujah. I want that again. I want there to be such a thick fog in this place. When we come into this house, we say, "Wow, what's going on? What happened? I've heard testimonies that fire departments get called to churches because people say, "We saw fire outside that church. Above that church, we saw fire." No, it was the glory of God falling in that place. That's what I'm talking about. That's holiness. That's Pentecostal. That's getting real with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We on this train. Hallelujah. And we going somewhere. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken out of the land they knew. They had names, and I'm fixing to tell you what their names meant. And I'm fixing to tell you what their new names meant. But it didn't change who they were. It didn't change what they believed. We're in a strange land. If there's ever a time we can say it, it's right now. We walk outside and there's a lot of strange things that we see. I tell my wife all the time, I said, "You would not believe some of the strange things that I see." But you know what? God's still in control. God's still on the throne. Yes, the devil might be the ruler of this world, but God is greater. God is greater. I don't have my eyes focused on this world. I got them just a little bit higher. You ever be outside at night looking at stars? And you're looking and you say, "Look at that star." The other night I was out and me and Tabitha were out and I said, "Man, look at the moon. See, that's cool." I said, "Look at that star just to the right. I guarantee you that's a planet. Look a little higher. There it is." And I thought, man, if we as Christians just look a little higher. Just look a little higher. Don't get so involved with the junk around us. Look a little higher. Our redemption draweth nigh. It won't be long before we'll hear. Somebody asked me the other day, he said, "Chris, what do you think the second coming is going to be like?" He said, "Do you think we're going to see everything?" I said, "Well, I know what my Bible tells me, that in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, boom, that fast. It's faster than the twinkling of an eye. We're gone." Somebody said, "Brother Chris, do you think we're going to have time once you hear that trumpet to say I'm sorry and ask for forgiveness?" Nope. You're not. But you know what? I thank God when I hear that trumpet. Sometimes I get up in the morning and I say, "Lord, it's today the day. It's today the day I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm listening, Lord. Are you calling me home today? Is today going to be the day?" We thought a pandemic was going to be world-changing and was going to be life-changing. Wait till they see the rapture. Wait till they see the rapture. One of my fellow coworkers, he said, "Can you imagine what it's going to be like when all of us is gone?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "You know, talk about they was panicking whenever this pandemic come out. We're going to be out of here. Gone. This mortal body, my Bible tells me, is going to take on immortality. Hallelujah. I'm going to go through the air. Hallelujah. Need I remind you, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then those that are alive and remain, that's me and you, will be caught up with them in heaven. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Those that went on before, Brother Eddie, you've got a lot of people that's went on before that you've loved. I've got a lot of people. Y'all have got a lot of people that you miss. I see your Facebook post. I hurt for you. Yes, I do. But I know that one day we will see them again. My baby sister, I love that little lady right there. This will be 10 years that she was dead. And I still miss her. this month is coming up, and July is her birthday. But it's not that I miss her, because I'm not going to see her again. It's I miss her that one day I'm going to see her again. And one day she's going to have a heavenly body. I'm going to see my dad again. I'm going to see my father-in-law again. I'm going to see my Uncle James again. Hallelujah. A great man of God that instilled so much knowledge into me. And I can imagine, honey, whenever he is up there, I imagine he's walking around and he's dancing and he's jumping. He don't have that old body he had before, but he's got a new body. Hallelujah. And he's a new creation. Hallelujah. And he's praising the Lord. I know right now on the streets of heaven, he's going, glory, glory, glory. He used to do that all the time. Glory, hallelujah, glory. Because that's all he could say. Glory, hallelujah. Man, all the people that's up there, and Jesus, all the prophets, all the apostles that's up there, and Jesus. Come on, somebody. We should walk around seriously with one of those smiles that everybody thinks, what in the world are they up to? We should be, what's the matter with you? I was thinking about going home. That's all. Well, you just got to work, not that home. I'm thinking about my home over on the other side. I'm thinking about going there. Hallelujah. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Amen. Thank God. Where was I at? Chapter 3, verse 2. Verse 7, I'm sorry. Skip down to verse 8. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso, in verse 11, falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews, bless God, there are certain people that are not going to bow. Throw them in the fire. You ever have them people? You either work with them or you've been around them. They're always trying to tell something on you. And you're saying, bless God. You know what I do? I say, God, you fight my battles for me. I ain't got to say nothing. I ain't got to say nothing. And I've learned to zip. And when I don't say nothing, it's generally about 2 to 5 days later, it all comes to light. There it is. You know why? Because I ain't got to fight the battle. God fights the battle for me. So they come around and they say, these people right here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these are people that you brought from the other country. They're not part of us. They're not going to be part of us because they're not bowing to the image that you created. What are we going to do with them? Nebuchadnezzar gets so mad, so in a rage, that he heats the fire 7 times hotter. I studied this. Do you know how high the flames were? 102 feet. They were 102 foot tall flames. Yes, it killed the men that threw them in the fire. They threw them in the fire. And they said, O king, live forever. Go down to verse number 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times hotter than it was wont be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Daniel's name, it meant God is judge. He was renamed Belteshazzar. Preserve thou Bel, not God. Hananiah, meaning gift of the Lord, was renamed Shadrach. Command of Aku, the moon, go. Mishael, meaning who is what God is, was renamed Meshach, who is Aku. Azariah, meaning whom Jehovah helps, renamed Abednego, servant of Nego or Nebo, the god of science and literature. They were renamed names. See, back in those days, a name meant something. What's in a name? A name meant something. Jehovah helpeth. God is my help. They were renamed. How would you like to be brought into a foreign land and rename somebody? Rename something that you didn't agree with, but it doesn't take out the spirit that's within me. You can call me all things that you want to call me, but it doesn't stop who I am. I am still a child of God. I am still the servant of the Most High. Come on, somebody. I'm still going on the pathway of the straight and narrow. Even though I might have to be thrown into a furnace sometimes, and it feels like a furnace sometimes when we walk outside. Sometimes we have to go through the trials. Sometimes we say, God, why do we have to go through this? Why do I have to endure this? Why do I have to feel this pain? And God's saying, it's for my glory. It's for my glory. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, never do I see it recorded where they said, God, why do we have to be thrown into this furnace? It would have been easier if they would have just bowed like everybody else did. Everybody else in the whole province. The Bible said there was many languages, there was many nations. There wasn't just a few people out there. There were several thousand people out there. And can you imagine? It's easy to see somebody when everybody else bows, somebody that's standing up. It's easy to point them out. They're different. I'm telling you, don't bow. Don't bow. Don't believe what the devil has to tell you. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. The Bible says that even the very elect could be persuaded. Take your Bible and read it. Study the Word. Pray. And I'm not talking about just pray a little 5-minute prayer. I mean pray. Pray like your life depends on it. Pray like your family's life depends on it. Pray like it's the end of the world, because it is. Because it is. The devil knows that the time is short. He doesn't know. My Bible says he doesn't know the day or the hour. No man knows that. But he knows his time is short. And as the time gets shorter and shorter and shorter, I can remember as a kid when the waves would come up on the ocean. They would come up, and as it comes closer to the ocean, the waves get bigger and bigger and bigger, because they're coming out of deep water going into shallow water, and they get bigger and bigger and bigger. That's what the devil's doing. He's making himself look bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, to the point where he tries to even scare Christians. But God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Remember that. He's not given up. Anytime you're afraid, I'm going to tell you the truth about something. I don't like the dark. Never been a fan of the dark. Never have liked the dark. Don't like being in the dark alone. Never have liked that. But God has not given me a spirit that I am afraid, because He is with me. He's given me a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. If I see something that startles me or scares me, I know He is my comforter, and He is there with me, and He is right beside me. The Bible says, and David said in the book of Psalms, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God's goodness and His mercy are always with us. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to bow. Well, what am I going to do? I'm not given an option. What am I going to do if they do this and they do that? Trust God. That's what we're going to do. Trust God. You know why we saw so many revivals break out into the Great Depression? Because the only thing that people could trust in was God. History always repeats itself. It always does. There is an evil out there that we've seen before. Not me personally, but I've read history books on it. There is an evil out there. Nothing's new under the sun. It's the same old evil. It's the same old devil. It's the same old nastiness. But thank God, my God is on the throne. Thank God that when we have to go through that fire, He sends a comforter with us. Nebuchadnezzar looked and he said, didn't we just throw 3 men into that fire? And he said, yeah, we sure did. Well, he said, I don't understand, because I see 4 men. And they're up, walking around. We don't go through this alone. My sister sung a song, sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes it does. But God, if it takes that mountain for me to be closer to you, I'll climb that mountain. If it takes that fire for me have to go through to be closer to you, I'll walk through that fire. God, if it takes a desert for me to be closer to you, I will walk through that desert to be closer to you. I want to be, it's time for us as a church to get real and say, God, I just want to be close to you. I just want to be close to you. I want to be close. I want to be close. I want to be close. A friend of mine in Chattanooga, he wrote a song that's called When No One's in the Room. And it talks about, Lord, I just want to worship you like there's nobody else in the room. I've given far too much praise to those that don't deserve my accolades. But tonight, I'm going to love you like there's nobody else in the room. What could we do for God if we didn't worry about what everybody else thought about us? If we didn't worry about what everybody else would say about us. If we didn't worry about what somebody was going to do. If we said, you know what? God told me I'm going to do it. And we did it. If we just trusted Him, we would see miracles like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I truly believe that God is calling us to a higher place in Him. To a deeper place in Him. To a closer walk with Him. I truly believe that. And I truly believe that God is going to use us for His glory. I believe that. Amen. Father, we love You, Lord. We thank You for all that You do for us, Lord. We thank You for this time, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for Your presence. We thank You, Lord, for speaking to us tonight, Father. Lord, let us take this word that You've planted into our hearts, Father God. Lord, let us use it this week. Let us be difference makers in our world, Father God. Lord, let us be seed planters, Father God. Lord, let us speak Your love and Your truth, Father. Give us the courage, Father God. Give us the boldness, Father God. And Lord, I pray a hands of protection round about this entire congregation, Lord. Keep them safe, Father. In Jesus' name. In closing, I want to keep it simple, keep it real. I just want to sing. If you, everybody want to stand, these altars are open. We don't have to have the musicians up here. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. As you lift your voice, we're going to sing it one more time. I want you to listen to the words you're singing. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name.